The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives has a history that dates back to the Civil War era. The Center for American Progress says some of the Bureau's mission areas are now out of date and unfocused. Chelsea Parsons is Vice President for Guns and Crime Policy at CAP and a co-author of the report The Bureau and the Bureau, and here to talk about the work that they've conducted. Chelsea, it's terrific to have you on. Congratulations to you and your colleague Arkady Gurney on producing this report. When you took a look at at ATF, what was the driver behind what you wanted to learn about its relationship with the FBI? Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. So the primary reason that we embarked on this two-year investigation into ATF and into federal efforts to enforce gun laws and regulate the industry is, frankly, the extremely high rate of gun deaths in this country. So 33 people are murdered with guns in this country every day. The gun murder rate in the United States is 20 times higher than in our peer nations. So clearly, we have a lot of work to do. And one of the key components of reducing gun violence in this country is in enforcing the laws that we already have on the books and in regulating the gun industry. And so that's where ATF plays a significant role. ATF is the federal agency charged with that mission, and yet it is an agency that is quite troubled and has been quite troubled for a number of years. And so what we wanted to do is really take an in-depth look at ATF, at what it does well, at what its primary challenges are, and ask the question, you know, what would be the best approach or a stronger approach to enforcing gun laws and regulating the industry?
You have three recommendations here, three main challenges that you write about, and I want to talk about those in turn, but you mentioned there are things that ATF does well. There are some challenges that it has. Since I'm a glass half full guy, Chelsea, let's start with what the ATF does well.
Absolutely. So the ATF is composed of some of the most talented and dedicated special agents and investigators in law enforcement anywhere in this country. That's something we heard over and over again. You know, the men and women who work at ATF, most of them devote their careers to this agency and to this mission and really feel quite deeply the importance of preventing and reducing gun violence in this country. One of the things that we heard over and over again from colleagues in local law enforcement is that ATF is quite strong at partnering with local law enforcement to address local gun violence challenges. That's something that the agency does quite well, and frankly, that's something that ATF does much better than some of the other federal law enforcement agencies, including the FBI.
It has been a bit of a wanderer, though, in federal terms in the last two decades or so. The first of the challenges that you outline in this report is inadequate management. And part of that, it looks to me like you attribute to the fact that it's transitioned once in the past 20 years or so.
So one of the key challenges facing ATF in terms of leadership is the fact that the position of ATF director is one that now requires Senate confirmation. And ever since that change was put into law, the agency has been very hard-pressed to be able to actually get a confirmed permanent director. So prior to Director Todd Jones it being confirmed, the agency went 7 years without a confirmed permanent director. And that poses a really serious challenge for an agency in terms of trying to do strategic planning, in terms of trying to advocate for itself in Congress, particularly with respect to articulating its budget needs. And now, with the resignation of Director Jones in March, we're again facing what will likely be another lengthy period where the agency does not have a confirmed director. And so, from the very top, the agency is hampered in terms of its leadership.
And you note the transition that I alluded to a moment ago. The agency was inside the Treasury Department because it started as a revenue agency. It was there for more than three decades, transitioned to the Justice Department as part of the Homeland Security Act in 2002. And that it appears from the timeline that you lay out in this report, that's where this kind of started to go south, this lack of a consistent leadership.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the challenge, and certainly ATF has faced challenges even prior to that when it was at Treasury, particularly with respect to its budget and resources. The agency has really had a stagnating budget for a number of years, and in addition has faced a lot of challenges from Congress in terms of restrictions being imposed on what the agency is permitted to do through the vehicle of appropriations riders. And this is something that we've seen for decades. Allies of the gun lobby in Congress put up these roadblocks in terms of ATF's budget and what they are permitted to spend their funds to do. And so all of these things together cumulatively have really weakened the agency and put it in quite a vulnerable position now to try to fulfill its hugely crucial mission of enforcing gun laws.
Chelsea Parsons of the Center for American Progress, and that's that leads us to the second of the challenges that you detail in this report: insufficient sources, burdensome restrictions. What restrictions should go in order for ATF to be able to execute its mission more effectively, Chelsea?
So there are more than a dozen of these appropriations riders that currently impact ATF's ability to do its job. And they really run the gamut in terms of what they cover. So there are appropriations riders that prevent ATF from modernizing and computerizing some of its records, which means that there are gun sales records on microfiche in West Virginia, and that's how ATF has to do some of its trace requests. There are appropriations riders that prevent ATF from requiring gun dealers to do an annual check of their inventory to make sure that they're not missing any guns. There are riders on ATF's budget that restrict how it can use and share data about crime guns. So all of these things really have an impact on how the agency can function and put it in quite a difficult position. The second piece of that is that, as I mentioned, the ATF's budget has stagnated in recent years. And at this point, the agency does not have nearly enough personnel to be able to adequately regulate the gun industry. So the GAO found a number of years ago that ATF currently does not have the manpower to regularly inspect every gun dealer in this country, and more than half of the gun dealers in the country go more than 5 years without an ATF inspection, which really creates the risk that there are guns migrating into an illegal stream of commerce without anybody noticing.
The last challenge that you address, and we'll talk about the recommendations in a moment, is a lack of coordination. Who should the ATF be coordinating more effectively and efficiently with?
So like I mentioned, ATF does an excellent job coordinating with local law enforcement, and that's one of the agency's strengths. Where we see much room for improvement is in ATF's coordination with other federal law enforcement, in particular the FBI. So FBI and ATF currently share jurisdiction over violent crime enforcement and over gun enforcement. They also share jurisdiction over investigations of explosives incidents. And yet there has been a lot of tension between the agencies, a bit of turf war over which agency should have primary jurisdiction over certain investigations or certain types of cases. And so what you see is this tension can lead to problems in the field, can lead to confusion on crime scenes, and can lead to really waste and, you know, not the best use of what are already scarce resources.
Let's talk about the recommendations. What are the structural issues that you and your colleague propose that the ATF undergo, and what are the remedies that they can conduct among those recommendations without the approval, blessing, interference, however you want to put it, of Congress, Chelsea?
So our primary recommendation is that ATF, its resources, all of its personnel, should be merged into the FBI. And so the FBI should assume primary jurisdiction over firearms enforcement and regulation. And in doing that, our theory is that would help alleviate some of the key problems and the key challenges facing ATF. And so that's really the kind of the big picture idea that we are proposing, which is not a new idea. It's something that's been considered by every successive administration every time there is a big scandal or debacle regarding ATF. Somebody proposes, again, let's merge ATF into the FBI. And so our investigation found that, many of the challenges facing the agency, particularly with respect to management structure, with respect to having leverage and having political clout in Congress, being able to advocate for itself, being able to stave off some of these attacks from the gun lobby, the FBI is much better positioned to be able to do that. And so a combined agency would put forth the strongest enforcement of federal gun laws and regulation of the industry.
You acknowledge the challenges that I anticipated. Wow, I wonder if they thought of this. You did think of them. You write, history's shown that large-scale reorganizations of wide swaths of the federal government often look much better on paper than in practice. Certainly, there would be resistance and apprehension by members of each agency, both of which would be wary of the challenges presented by such a reorganization. And I imagine, I know ATF wasn't in or and isn't now in the Homeland Security Department, but since it transitioned, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation, as a result of the Homeland Security Act, I imagine that transition might be fresh in the minds of a lot of veterans at the Bureau.
I think that that's right. And I think that, you know, we're not under any delusion that a merger would be simple or would be easy or would come without cost. But I think that from our perspective, the urgency of the gun violence problem in this country warrants taking some risks and thinking bigger about how can we do better. And so from our perspective, the benefits of this kind of merger outweigh the potential costs and risks.